Fiesta Gwinnett Place Atlanta features 426 guest rooms, 16,000 square feet of meeting and event space, several dining options, including art bar, a gastro pub serving locally inspired beer and cocktails, along with an indoor-outdoor swimming pool and patio, 11 landscaped acres of walking trails, and a convenient location to all the attractions located north of Atlanta. Visit www.sonesta.com/Gwinnett Place to learn more about what we have to offer for your next getaway, meeting, or event. Tired of being frustrated and stressed with administrative tasks in your business? Proactive Payroll rocks payroll and provides relief. We handle your payroll needs simply and efficiently, allowing you more time to work on growing your business. We handle tax reporting and payments, direct deposits, benefit and worker comp reporting, and more. Locally owned and operated with over 30 years of payroll experience. We don't just process payrolls, we build relationships. Visit proactivepayroll.rocks or call 404-410-0031. Broadcasting live from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios in Atlanta, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio, spotlighting business leaders in our area. Gwinnett Business Radio is brought to you by Veritech. Veritech, great people, remarkable service.
And hello and welcome to another award-winning edition of Gwinnett Business Radio, live from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studio in the beautiful Sonesta Gwinnett Place Atlanta Hotel. I'm Mike Salmon, alongside the beautiful Stephen Julian. Good morning, Stephen.
Mike, it's time to get your eyes checked. That's all I have to say.
Wait a minute. Let me put my reading glasses on.
Yeah, put your reading glasses on.
It's just Stephen Julian.
Yeah. Well, thank you for the kind words, if improper.
No.
And wrong.
I'm excited about today's show.
Beautiful on the inside. All right, yes. Yeah, I am thrilled. We've got two great guests.
Yeah, it's going to be. I think it's going to be one of our better shows. I say that every week, don't I?
Yes, you do. And we continue to win awards, although we create them and make them ourselves and give them to ourselves.
Not all of them.
That's true, not all of them.
The Chamber loves us.
For now.
For now. Yeah, right. There you go. Joining us on the show today is Tim and Crystal Mansour with Mansour International and Valencia Giles with Lawrenceville Swanee School of Music. So some great business entrepreneurs are here in the studio. And we're going to start with Tim and Crystal Mansour, Mansour International. Good morning, folks.
Good morning.
Glad to have you here. Tell us about Mansour International and what your company does.
Mansour International, what we do is we go out and do a lot of speeches, mainly to entrepreneurs, talking to them, trying to go over what their business plan is. We also are now flipping homes, so there's a lot to do. We have a lot of different things that are entailed with Mansour International.
Kind of the umbrella over a lot of things that you're doing.
Exactly.
I want to talk about your history, Tim. It's really fascinating because you have been a very successful entrepreneur and businessman. Started with nothing and grew your businesses and eventually sold them for millions of dollars. And now you're probably, you know, now you're doing all this other stuff as well. But I want to get back to your roots and the beginnings. Full disclosure, you have a book called It Is Not Impossible, which I got to read. So I learned a lot about you as a person and as a businessman. Talk about your beginnings. It seems like you've always had that entrepreneurial spirit your whole life because you never really worked for anybody else.
I did. I just something inside me wanted to make to go out on my own. I always wanted to be some manager or do a business, and I decided to go on my own. Did not understand much about business, especially how to find money. I did start with zero, and when I say zero, I meant zero. Had a great family, mother and father, both worked for other places for years and years. So even when I went to them to talk to them about it, they were lost. And I tell a lot of people that sometimes you tell your dreams to other people, and they might just not understand them. So they're not trying to discourage you. They just don't understand. And my mother and father worked for companies for 30 years, and that's what they thought everybody was supposed to do. So when I went to them and said, I want to go out on my own, of course they said I was crazy, like most of my other family. But we ended up just starting from zero, going to banks, learning as we went. And that was the biggest, I guess, not a regret, but something that I would like to help other people with, to give them some information, because where I got it is when I'd get turned down, whatever they would say, I would turn around the next time and change it. So it was a long journey, but it was something that I will never forget and something that I will always be passionate about to help other people with.
So going back to the beginning, what was the first business that you were involved in?
The first business was a fitness, if it was called Fitness International. I had worked right out of college for about a year and a half, 2 years with another person, and found out that was my love. And so we decided to try to go out on our own. And that's kind of where we heard about Gwinnett County and the growth of Gwinnett County. And that's when we started our research for money.
Some of the stories we want to share, too, with the people that are listening to is that it's not an easy road. You hit a lot of obstacles. I mean, you had cases where you had partners basically stealing money from you. Talk about some of the challenges you have and that it's not all gravy. It's not easy or else everybody would be doing it.
Exactly. And that's what I tell everybody. No matter what you go into in life, there will be what I call speed bumps. It's just it's not if you're going to have them, it's when you're going to have them. And it's more importantly, how are you going to handle them? You can handle them by being negative, or you can handle them by saying that's something that I'll learn and move on and try to not let that happen again. I did have a situation with a partner that I thought was a partner, somebody that brought me in and actually took me under his arms. And at the end, I found out that pretty much he was making all the money and I was making zero. And it was probably the best thing that ever happened because it kind of woke me up and said, go on your own and make this happen. And that's exactly what we did.
So you do some speaking now to entrepreneurs and students. So let me put you in that room. Here at Business Radio X, we have business owners listening. As you think about all the different businesses, you know, if you could go back and give yourself one or two pieces of advice, and I'll let you pick whether it was at the beginning or at the hardest part, you decide when, but what are some of the best pieces of advice you can give to business owners in today's environment?
The most important thing is most people have dreams. It's just how they're going to get there. And usually it's to do with financing. And what you have to remember is if somebody came to you and it's not personal and said, I want to borrow even $50,000, how would you handle it? You would make sure that how are they going to pay it back? And if they don't pay it back, how will you get your money back? And that's mainly what every bank's going to look at. No matter how much they smile at you or how much investor, they want to know, how can I get my money back? And it's not, the answer is not always, well, I'm going to work harder than anybody else. It's here's plan A, here's plan B, and here's plan C. So you always have a if it doesn't happen, because that's what they're looking for.
So a lot of people might have been expecting in the room, oh, he's an entrepreneur who was successful in selling his business. He's going to give me some platitudes. I like that your number one piece of advice is it's about money. So be smart with it. It's not personal what they're doing. And come up with plan A, plan B, plan C. Come up with the different – I like that. That's great advice. And the way to get to plan A, plan B, and plan C and having those plans, it's going from dreaming to details, right?
In reality, exactly. Set it on paper. And I would always see – when I was looking at some of the fitness centers that we built, and they were some of them 50,000 square feet, I almost had dreamed them and – seen it before it happened. So when I went into banks, and it never was easy to borrow money, I mean, especially for that kind of business, so many of them go out of business after the first year or two. But I would go in and I would give my speech, I would have everything on paper, and I would have the A, B, and C. And when I did, and I did get turned down a lot, I would mainly ask them, why would you turn me down? And whatever it was, I would change it next time I went in. So never took it personal, and I understood that people were giving me their money, and they would have to expect, you know, they expect everything, and we'd give them whatever they needed.
We're talking with Tim Mansour with Mansour International. We're going to bring Crystal in just a second, but I want to ask you about one of the methods you use. You call it the bulldozer method. Explain that to our listeners.
Well, I always told our people, we at one time had 300, and what I call not really employees, they were team members, and I would always say, do whatever it takes to, we would say it was the bulldozer way. It wasn't to run over people. It was say to do whatever it takes to get the job done as long as it was morally right. Because there were going to be problems. There was going to be things where people thought, gosh, can I handle this? And I knew they could. I knew we could. So we would do whatever it took as long as it was morally right.
Now, Crystal, you came from the fitness industry background, correct?
I've always been in fitness, but I actually came from the banking industry.
Yes. Okay.
I worked for a local bank for almost 22 years. And with that, I've been teaching group fitness for over 30 years. So kind of meshed the two together with first job, second job. So that's kind of was my passion. I ended up kind of leaving the banking industry and completely into the fitness industry. And it was magic, I guess.
Talk about your relationship, because they say behind every good man is probably a better woman.
Oh, that's
and talk about your role today and the relationship you guys have today and how it works.
Oh, it's amazing, and I think that's probably one of the things that makes it most incredible for us, is that we don't only get to do what we really enjoy and what we have a passion for, but we get to do it together. A lot of husbands and wives can't do that. We completely understand it, but it's been our niche, and it's been something that we just love doing every single day.
And you mentioned flipping homes now. A lot of folks have, you know, that's, you watch the TV shows, and I think all of us wanted to do it. You're actually getting to do it. What's that been like?
We've really enjoyed it. We've probably flipped about 45 homes, and what's nice about it is we do get to do it together, and we get to start something that is sometimes so, ugly, but so, I guess, ugly.
Ugly is a good word.
Exactly. And then we can turn it into something beautiful. And we meet a lot of great people that are buying their first home, and so that's nice, and we get to see that. And it's kind of a quick type deal. So you're doing something for 3 or 4 months, and you move on. But, again, it's not exactly what you see on TV.
Well, if during your entrepreneurial journey you had all these different types of businesses, you're doing the same thing just with a home, right? You're kind of taking something and all the – I mean, there's something there, and like you said, it's ugly. Not every business you got into was ugly to start, right. But you build it up, right? You change it and tweak it and make it better, and then
– And that's exactly right. And we enjoy – you know, again, we meet people all different ways. So if it was in the fitness industry, we've been in 10 different businesses, but we always seem like the whole thing comes down to helping people or seeing people and making things happen together.
So you were in the fitness industry. There were some other businesses that maybe were tied to fitness, maybe just kind of ancillary. Talk about some of the other businesses you've been involved in.
And that's something that we were buying equipment. We had 4 of the fitness centers and 1 tennis center. We were buying equipment for, you know, we thought, why would we buy equipment at retail when we can own our own store? So we opened another store called ProFit Equipment Center. So we bought our own equipment at cost, and then we sold equipment. So that worked out. We also opened a vitamin store. We did a weight loss center. So we did a lot of different businesses that tied into one or the other. And a lot of times in business, you'll find out what you can do to help one business or the other. And that's what we were trying to do.
You mentioned your other businesses. You mentioned the tennis center, which I thought was really cool for me. You know, reading the book, It Is Not Impossible, is having lived in Gwinnett for quite some time now. And it's like, wait, I played tennis at a Collins Hill location there. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I guess I was a customer at one point or another. Plus the fitness center that's right there at GGC, that was yours as well. I used to pass that all the time. It's like, I know the guy that used to own that place now. So you build up these wonderful businesses. You learn a lot along the way. Then you sell them off, very successful no matter how you measure it. You're then sitting there thinking, well, now what do I do? Is that kind of where the flipping the homes, that I said, and the motivational speaking kind of came from?
It is. I always enjoyed motivational speaking. I loved to help people because I always look back at when I started. And I thought, well, I would have loved to have somebody just sit down and talk to me. So we've always enjoyed that. But when we did sell the fitness center, and we did sell it to Georgia Gwinnett College, which we love the college. It's a great college. And also they bought our tennis center. I was at the point then that, what do I do? And I just sat back, and Crystal and I talked about it, and we actually bought a home that we ended up moving in, and we enjoyed doing the flipping, and we had so many of the subs because we had them all working at Fitness International. So we ended up starting this journey, and we've enjoyed it. We've really something different, but enjoyed it because it's something that moves pretty quick, and we're still helping people.
So, Crystal, I was going to ask you, now that you guys have transitioned out of the business, are you also speaking? What are some of the things you're getting passionate and involved in now?
Well, I really enjoy being the back end.
Okay.
I really enjoy doing a lot of the social media. I do a lot of the website. I'll do actually something we are really getting ready to add to our website, Mansour International, which is a lot of the podcast introductions. It's going to be basically tidbits about business, about entrepreneurship, about finding their path, that if they're looking to start their own business and they just need help, they need maybe some questions, answers type things. So we're working on that right now. So I like doing
the stuff to part. Yeah, well, without you, okay, so behind every great man is a great woman, because without you, he'd just be talking into the corner to himself, right? I mean, let's just be honest. That's the reality.
Well, I enjoy doing the things that he doesn't enjoy doing.
Exactly, which makes you a great team, and that's why you've worked together so long so well.
You decided to go ahead and write a book, too, about your experiences and so forth. Why, for the obviously, for the entrepreneur that would like to find out more, why should they buy this book? What will they get out of this book?
Well, first of all, let me say this. The book was my wife's idea, and I want to go back to that 1 second. She is a very, very big part of everything we do. And I think my success, a lot of people think that I'm just the smart business guy, and I think the most important thing that I have done in business is find the right people around me. I'm definitely not the smartest in the room. I think if you think you're doing that, you got the wrong team. So I had great managers, great assistant managers. Crystal's been unbelievable. But the most important thing is never think you're better than you are. I mean, you know, I'm a person that I love to push and to make things happen, but the people around me is really what's made me successful. She pushed me to write a book. She said it would be something that people would like to read because it's the truth. Everything about it, we started, there's so many myths out there that you have to have money to make money. And that is not true. I mean, if you look at most people didn't have money. So that's a myth. And also working with a family, you can't do that. Or just things that we believe that so many people have in their mind that we don't want them to stop. We don't want this to stop them from doing a business their own. But the book is something, if you read it, you will find out in any business there will be little problems that you're going to have. It's just how you handle them. And it is the truth from starting with zero, and we definitely started with zero, and it did work out very well for us.
Not just little problems, big problems. Exactly. I mean, there were times where it's like, how am I going to get by this next week? You know, you run out of money or whatever, but you plow through, bulldozer method.
That's exactly right. And there was some major problems that we – all looked at each other and wondered, will we be here tomorrow? And thank goodness we were. And I think more than anything is when a big problem comes up, sit back and really talk to the people that are around you. There's a lot of people that you will get answers from that might not even be in the business that you're in, and they can see it from the outside and look outside the box, because sometimes you get stuffed in one little area and you just think that's the only way to do it. And I have gotten some great insight from even my ladies that used to work in the nursery, or my front-end managers, or something that I would have never thought about. So just always listen. It's not like you have all the answers, that's for sure.
Tim and Crystal Mansour, Mansour International. For those that would like to find out more about your company, all the things you're doing, where can they get more information?
They can actually go to our website, which is mansourinternational.com. It has a lot of different things on there where they can read about us. They can read about a little bit about a synopsis of the book. They also can order the book from the website. They can get it from Barnes & Noble, iBooks, Kindle, Amazon. They can get it just about anywhere. But if they just visit the website, they'll probably find out a little bit more information rather than just ordering. And then they can also, on the last page of the website, ask us questions. Let us know what they're interested in finding out about, if it's something that is more entrepreneurial or maybe business-wise or leadership or path or journeys. We'll be happy to kind of answer those questions as well. But I do want to give a shout out to somebody that has been an amazing part of Tim's journey. Our journey is Tim's brother, Joseph Mansour. He is just amazing. We love Joseph. He has experienced everything from zero to now with us. So we really, really appreciate Joseph.
Wonderful. Mansour International. We want to make sure people understand Mansour is spelled M-A-N-S-O-U-R. MansourInternational.com. Tim, Crystal, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Great stuff.
Mike, before we get to our next guest, just want to remind everybody that we do broadcast Gwinnett Business Radio from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios, and love is what makes a Subaru. Our listeners can get big savings and enjoy a hassle-free experience at Subaru of Gwinnett, where people, that's right, real people, actual people, sell cars. Visit SubaruofGwinnett.com and join their family today. Come in and see the difference. Maybe you're already a Subaruist, then you need to follow Subaru of Gwinnett's Facebook page for the latest Subaru offers, news, and community events.
And talk about successful business people. A shout out to Steve Kendrick and his our friends and family there at Subaru of Gwinnett and Infinity of Gwinnett as well. It's all part of the same family.
Great team, great location, cars, great service. Yeah,
we appreciate their support of Business Radio X. All right, now our next guest, we talk from one who's been there and been successful now, Valencia Giles with Lawrenceville Suwannee School of Music, building her business as we speak. One day we'll sell it off for millions of dollars.
Absolutely.
Just like Tim. But Valencia, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
The Lawrenceville Suwannee School of Music. Tell us about your business.
Well, Lawrenceville Suwannee School of Music is my heart. I'm just telling you, we have reached 500 students this month.
Wow.
And we're really excited about that. We've been around since 2009, and we offer quality music lessons for piano, voice, guitar, violin, art lessons, and many more instruments. We have extraordinary teachers, supported parents, and we have this amazing staff. We're the most award-winning school in Gwinnett County. Best of Gwinnett 2015-16-17, Reader's Choice Awards 2015-16-17, Pinnacle Small Business Award. I'm a finalist for the Pinnacle Small Business Award for women this year.
Congratulations.
And we just got back, our school, we just got back from Carnegie Hall. So I'm just like, that amazed me. So I got to tell you about that at some point, but that was so cool. And it's just a great school, and kids are from everywhere, not just USA, but from many other parts of the country. So it's a multicultural school. It's a family. And it's just nice. Amazing.
It's a shame, Stephen, that she's not passionate about what she does and really enjoys what she does. You know?
One of these days, we're going to get a business owner in here who really is excited and can really, you know, display that on the air. Valencia, so I guess one of the questions, somebody who listens to that, clearly they're going to get somebody who's passionate about music and helping people learn mm-hmm. music. Do most of the new students who come in, are they kind of coming from square one? They have very little background. Is that the best new student for you guys?
Well, actually, we teach ages 3 to 103.
Wow.
So 104, you can't.
You can't come in.
You can't come
okay.
in.
You've aged out.
Yeah, you're aged out. But we get a lot. I really focus a lot on our ages 3 through 12. That's okay. a good age to start working with kids.
Sure.
I really believe that starting early is the way. Mm-hmm. But we have students of all ages. And some come in looking for help for scholarships. And some come in just looking for ways to be more disciplined. It's just a variety of different types of students. We just cater our lessons to meet the need of each student. No matter what they come in, we can give them what they're looking for.
When someone comes and joins the program, is it a once a week type program? And let me ask this question, and I might show my extreme ignorance on this question. I'm allowed to do it once a show, so this might be the one. Is there a particular type of teaching method that someone who knows something about music goes, oh, they use that method, or oh, they, you know, talk a little bit about the teaching method and how often people do the lessons.
Well, we have 36 plus different teachers. So with all the teachers, they're independent contractors. So they have different ways in which they teach.
Okay.
So I hire teachers to come in and teach from their strength.
Yeah.
So when I talk to a parent and I'm trying to find out a little bit about the kid, we offer a program based on understanding the child. So we can offer different libraries of teaching, whether it's Suzuki or Bastion or Afferent. But what we want to do is keep what I call the ABC triangle working, where the teacher, the parent, and the student are connected so that the kids will progress, because it's really not just about the book or the method. It's about the full picture of having extraordinary teachers, a great parent that is supportive, and a child who is interested. And one of the things I don't want to do is give kids things that they don't want where they hate music. I want them to love music.
Love it.
While having fun.
So, Mike, instead, I love the fact that the way they teach is instead of going, here's our square hole, you better be a square peg to fit in there.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of try to figure out what do you want, and then they try to meet your needs. I like that.
Is that what makes you a little bit different? Because before we went on the air, I was telling you about this other school that had opened up recently here in the mm-hmm. market, and you said, well, we're different from them.
Well, we are, and it's a lot of things that make us different, but my mission and why I do what I do is what makes us very different. You know, for me, love is my model, And then great musicianship is my goal. Then I want to inspire and educate and motivate kids to perform at their highest level so that they can be confident. Because truly, I was not a confident kid. And that life that I live has just transformed into me. And I believe as a owner and manager, you give your staff what you have. And so I'm able to give my staff the same vision and say, okay, here is our motto. If we can't love kids, we've already not going to do a good job. But we've got to pull all of that together. And so we do that as well as we offer a lot of incentive programs. It's not like you walk in this building and there's a room here, room here. You walk in this building and there's a family and there's things going on. And we have incentive programs and we've got funny money for the little kids. They earn funny money because they're practicing. And then we have, you know, the Galaxy program and the Rocket Piano program. And we have Carnegie and we have performances twice a year, and all these incentive programs are free. I give that as a part of, I want to build something in kids where they have a whether they play in Carnegie Hall or down the hall, I want them to have a memory when they're older that I learned something and my experience changed my life. Because music and teachers change your life.
I was going to say, these kids are learning a lot more than just music at this school.
They're going to do a lot more than middle C, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
So clearly what's coming across in this interview is they're going to feel a lot of love. They're going to get a lot of great instruction.
Absolutely.
So, and they're going to join a family. Can I ask, just as someone who runs a music school, you know, the arts, depending on who you listen to, you know, some people are saying, oh, the arts are going away, and some people are saying the arts are really struggling. I think the arts need a lot more love and enthusiasm like you're giving, which is great. What are some of the benefits for anyone of any age up to 103? At 104, you're out of luck. But what are some of the benefits to someone, apart from, of course, the love and the environment and the family and all that, just what are some of the benefits of just learning music?
There are truly so many benefits to learning music.
She's going
to
blow us away with the answer. I just know.
Can you limit it to 15 or less?
There's some, you know, when you have all these different activities and they create some amazing things, football, basketball, whatever. But if you were to just look at the brain when someone is practicing music, if you could see it, it's an explosion of just lights and fixtures and everything. It's just blasting off because when you're in music, your brain is acquiring and doing so much. And so you get to grow in your ability to think. You grow in your ability to handle logic, to develop solutions, math, science. It is said and been very proven that many instrumentalists score high on their SAT scores. And so now with the math thing, I might question that because I'm not really good at math. But I thought maybe the math kept me from music kept me from failing math.
Maybe so it made you better.
Yeah,
right?
It made me better, but it didn't make me a rock star. I'm telling you. But socially and emotionally, the benefits is you can it helps you with stress, anxiety, blood pressure. Exercise. Matter of fact, one practice session is equivalent to a workout when we talk about your brain development. Wow. So music, I mean, just all the different things that it does. That's why when you're watching a movie or when you're sitting listening to a movie, you hear all this music because everybody knows, the industry knows that music is so effective. It's for the weddings. It's for the birthday parties. Music is in everything. You don't have music playing now.
Music is the answer to everything.
It is.
Tim, if you need an opening act for one of your inspirational speeches, I think we've got somebody.
That's exactly right.
We've got somebody for you right here. You should go into motivational speaking as well.
It obviously also affects your cardio because her excitement hasn't waned one little bit in the midst of this interview.
Well, talk about this passion. Where did this come from?
Well, people would ask me.
And in your background and how you got to where you are today and opening the business.
Well, cool, I can tell you that because people would say, Valencia, now that you have this amazing school and you have all these students, you find your dream has come true. And I thought, this has never been my dream. Isn't that something? to be so passionate, but that wasn't my dream. My story, if I can tell it really quickly. When I was about 6 years old, my dad and my mom, middle class, bought me this beautiful little spinet piano. I loved it. I practiced all the time. Eventually, I majored in music, double major, graduated with honors, just loved music. But the fifth year I did my student teaching, it was a disaster. I thought, oh my gosh, why did they make me do student teaching my last year in school? Because if I hadn't known it was this bad, I never would have majored in music. But anyway, I did it, and it was awful. And so you know what I did? I graduated, left music, started working in a computer science corporation, went back to school in computers, absolutely didn't know what I was doing, got married, and I just said, forget music, because I am not a great teacher. I had just decided I am not a good teacher. So I left from there, moved to Atlanta, 4 or 7 years later. I am this insecure person because that experience really devastated me in a way, because it just took away the thought of feeling that I could teach. So I left music and got here in Atlanta, and a girl from church who had a school offered me a job to teach music lessons. And I went, no, I'm really not good at that. And she said, come on, Valencia, I want you to try it. I tried it, absolutely loved it. I was just enjoying teaching so much, and my zeal and my passion grew back, and I thought, yes, this is what I'm supposed to do. One day I got sick, couldn't go to one of the schools. They called in a sub. I was like, great. The next day, my boss calls me and says, Valencia, they don't want you to come back. Not come back? What in the world? She says, they hired the sub. I just fell apart. I cried. It took me some time to get up off the floor. And by the time I got off the floor, I decided that day that I was going to work for myself. So I went home and I told my husband, I said, Ozzy, he's so amazing and good looking. And I said, honey, I can't do this. I know you're making a lot of money teaching special needs in education, making big dollar bills, you know, but I need to stay at home and work with the kids, and I'm going to have the school at home. So I started my own piano lessons in my home. My husband said, you can do it. Started with 1 student, 5 students, 10 students, 25 students. Great. Still excited. I'm almost at the end of the story. And so I was so excited. And it grew in about 10 to 15 years. That's all I did. I was a stay-at-home mom teaching piano lessons in my home with about 30 students. Well, my father got sick, and he was a beautiful soul. He passed. 3 years after that, my mom had a stroke, and so she had to come move in with us. When she came in to move with us, it wasn't conducive to continue to have lessons in my home. So Ozzy said, Valencia, it's time for you to move the studio out of the home. And said, I said, okay, we'll do that. And we moved the studio outside of the home. And we started, for logistical reasons, teaching lessons in this building in 2009, right in the middle of a recession, where people were saying, you shouldn't open a business now. This is not a good time. And I'm like, well, you know, it is the time for me, because this is what is going on in my life.
You're not going to listen to that negative stuff.
I am not. You know, just because you fell into the mud doesn't make you mud. You might be muddy. Things may not be going well, but you're gonna do this.
Don't be the mud.
That's right. I'm saying. So my husband and I together, we opened this business, borrowed $5,000 from my uncle, and we opened it debt-free. We pay him the $5,000. Started with zero, just like you over here. And we worked that thing, and we started with 2 teachers, myself and another teacher, and about 30 students. And we're up to 500 today. Man. But
about to open a second location.
And getting ready to open a second location. And we did that with nothing. And I just thought, at that point, that was not my dream. But what happened is we just started making money and helping people and growing people. And what was always my dream was to help people and to serve people. and to do things for people. I was once told money is good if you can serve with it. But if you are only buying things with it, it's going to be disastrous for you. When money can do things for other people. So now I'm passionate because somehow I was able to connect what I love with what I loved.
You're doing it through music.
I love music and I love helping, and together they have created this wonderful school for me. So I'm just really grateful that it was a logistical move. And that third year is when I figured that out, because we had grown to about 200 students and I went, my goodness, this is a business. The first 2 years I didn't know what it was. And I went, this is a business. So I got a mentor who started teaching me and helping me. And that's how we got to 500. And I hired all these smart people around me. And we've been growing ever since. And my husband, he's the nucleus that holds everything together, you know?
Shout out to Ozzy.
Shout out to Ozzy.
Who's handsome, right?
He is. He's
a stud.
So good looking.
He's a handsome man.
Good looking.
Well, Valencia, this is where you just drop the mic and walk out the studio.
Okay.
Walk out the door right now. Drop the mic.
Mike, I have a horrible thing that I have to do, but I have to do it. You guys know, we've been speaking with Valencia Giles from the Lawrenceville Swanee School of Music. I only have one correction I have to make to your story. You said you built this with nothing. You built it with love and musicianship.
Absolutely.
Which is your is your passion and your mission. So
absolutely.
Clearly the mission is being accomplished. Why don't you tell everybody where the two locations are, I'm going to go ahead and do your part here, Mike, because this is so good. Tell everybody where the two locations are, how they can get in touch with you, website, phone number, whatever you want to give us.
Okay, I forget my address because that's what math does. Music is supposed to help you with your memory, but it does. But we are at 345 Peachtree Industrial Road. That's our new location that opens on December 3rd. Our first location is 2001 Lawrenceville Swanee Road. But you can look us up on www.LawrencevilleSwanneeSchoolOfMusic.com. That's LawrencevilleSwanneeSchoolOfMusic.com. We're real easy to find. So if you look us up, you can find out a lot more about our school and what we're doing. And we'll be having an open house really soon for the next location.
And so open houses are available. If someone is interested in talking with you guys, is there an initial consultation? They can come take a tour?
Absolutely. Okay. The number to call is 678-389-7080. That's 678-389-7080. So you can call that number, and fantastic staff will help you get started. You can come in for a free tour. You can also do a trial lesson, which is only $20, kind of give you a little initial idea of what music lesson is like. And it's so many ways you can get connected. But we will take care of you.
Valencia Giles, thank you so much for sharing your story.
You're welcome.
You should write a book. Maybe title it "It Is Not Impossible."
No, it can't.
Oh, wait,
do
that's
that.
What he taking.
Yeah, she can't do that. I like love and musicianship. I think that. Well, yeah. What do I know? But.
Congratulations on your journey.
You.
Continued
thank
success.
You. Thank you so much, and thank you for having me here.
Absolutely, Valencia Giles, Lawrenceville Swanee School of Music. Our thanks to her. Also, Tim and Crystal Mansour with Mansour International for joining us here on the program. I told you it was going to be a great program.
So, you never fail.
We delivered.
Thankfully, they gave us another award because this was a great show. You know, you always joke that you're the Georgia guy and I'm the Georgia Tech guy, and I actually knew enough about math to go to Georgia Tech. So I took 7 years of piano from my dad. He was a piano teacher for a long, 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 long time. And I never got good enough in piano, and it was because my hand-eye coordination wasn't that great. But I was a great mathematician, so I was able to make it into Tech and do calculus and stuff like that. So maybe music helped me become a better mathematician.
And I have a guitar sitting in my corner of my bedroom one day. Maybe I'll get with Valencia, and I can actually learn how to play the guitar.
Dust it first, then you can start playing it.
All right, I want to thank everybody as well. A reminder, you can listen to the show anytime by going to businessradiox.com. Do you know a good cleaning service then? I probably need that to dust it off.
Yeah, I do.
Go to businessradiox.com, select the Gwinnett Studio. You've got great studios to select from, but we're the Gwinnett Studio, and the name of the show is Gwinnett Business Radio. You can listen to the show anytime and any of our previous 5 years, 6 years worth of shows as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of Steven, a lot of Mike. Overload.
No, never.
Want to thank our guests, want to thank our listeners, and of course Trey, our producer, for everything he's done behind the scenes. Until next time, for Steve and I, Mike, and this has been Gwinnett Business Radio here on Business Radio X.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. Woo!